I'm joined by Julie Bortnick of SocialCast. Thank you so much for doing this, Julie.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
This is one of our first episodes of a podcast series we're calling Radio Influencers. So we wanted to talk to people who are helping move the industry forward. And so, of course, I thought of you.
I'm honored. Thank you so much for considering me a radio influencer.
Can you tell me a little bit about your digital and social media background?
Absolutely. So I got my start actually in fashion, so a little different, but then I quickly started a blog in 2011. And it was, I just was really into writing, just getting, you know, my message out. And I just loved writing and sharing my story and all of that. And then quickly from there, I wrote a book. And then soon after that, I started my podcast. So I started a podcast in about 2017, 2018. And I'm still doing it. It's called #NoFilter. And through all of that, I also had clients that I worked with on their social media strategy, social media management, social media posting, everything social media, along with writing, freelance writing for them, working on their email marketing campaigns, and a variety of other things under the digital marketing umbrella. And then fast forward various other things along the way, and now I run SocialCast, which is a social media and web services company, and we provide those services to radio stations, podcasters, and other audio mediums.
What's the book called?
So it has nothing to do with any of this. It's called Oops. It's a book on dating and relationships. It was from, I'm in my late 30s now, but it's from when I was in my 20s living in New York City. So it's all about kind of my experiences and observations in that regard.
Well, it has everything to do with social media.
It's true. Well, it's funny.
It's all
also
about relationships, right?
It's all about relationships. And in the book, it's funny, like looking back now, it feels like it was like eight generations ago, because I talked about BBMing, remember like BlackBerry Messenger, and like various things that like is not really a thing anymore in terms of social media and all of that. So it's funny.
Have you seen the BlackBerry movie?
No.
Oh yeah. There's a really interesting movie about the making of the BlackBerry phone and the demise of all of it that you'll find really interesting.
Yeah. And you know, I was a BlackBerry user way after the iPhone came out. I was obsessed with my BlackBerry. And then finally, I think my dad and brother are like Apple fanatics. They're like, you're switching to an iPhone. And I need to watch that.
Well, that's a lost skill, using that little typing pad. And you know,
I know.
We all got so quick on it, and then they immediately went away. So what are some of the things you've learned working with other industries with social media and digital that can be applied to radio?
That the only constant is change. And that there is every day there's either a change in the algorithm, or there's a change in the platform, or there's an additional feature. You know, and there's just so much. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned along the way is if you're in that industry, the social media industry, you got to stay up on the trends. Like, you're already behind if you don't know what's about to come. Like, it's so much. And, you know, people get frustrated with it who are, you know, I have a lot of people, peers, colleagues that are social media managers, run social media companies. And it's frustrating. It's hard because you're working with a client and they're seeing all this growth, and then Instagram or whatever it is, X changes their algorithm or something. And then it's like you just took 10 steps back. So it's kind of just staying up on the trends. So I would say that, and that content is king. Post, post, post. So you can't really post too much, you know, as long as you're doing it tastefully.
Yeah, I think that's two things that jump out in there for me. Like the rules changing out from under you can be very frustrating. Like one of the big ways we in radio got our big followings when the social media's first platforms first came out was through doing some contests, like share, comment.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of contesting stuff that you can't do the same anymore. Because
they ban you. It was funny. I was talking about that with someone, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, and how it used to be the like for like, or if you like, and now you completely will get banned. You won't be able to post. You have to be really careful with giveaways on Instagram. And part, I really appreciate that because it brings back the authenticity of it all, because there's so much inauthenticity with social media. So it's kind of nice that like you want your followers to be genuine. I'd rather have 5 loyal, engaged followers than 100 followers that don't purchase what I'm selling or care what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if they're passive, it's not doing you any good. The other thing that that made me think of is early on. So the challenge for new stations starting out is the ones that are already existing they kind of got in under the radar, especially if you've had the same station for 10 years or more. Early on, the algorithms didn't choke down as much before they all started charging, you know, and trying
right,
to advertise.
Right,
like there was, right. There was a time if I had a station that had 50,000 followers and 90% of your people checked their social feed every day. So mm-hmm. your each post would be getting, you know, 30,000, 40,000 impressions.
Sure.
And then all of
sure.
a sudden when they started charging, they changed that. And so yep. it's really like some stations are still living up with the old mentality of back in that day, we watched how much we posted a lot. Like
yep.
we would be really careful about spacing them out an hour, yep. 2 hours between, mm-hmm. because we're thinking if that guy's seeing, if 90% of our fans are seeing this, they're going to get overloaded. And that's
sure.
that mentality's changed. It's really hard to over-engage, isn't it?
That's what I feel that too. I sometimes like teeter the line. I'm like, oh, you don't want to post too much and annoy the people. But if such fewer people and such fewer followers are seeing your content and it's so much harder to be discovered, then you might as well keep posting. So at least there's a chance that more people might see it. So, you know, I think again, you don't want to do like 100 posts a day. But yeah, I mean, we with SocialCast, we're like the more the better. Like we're not just posting 2 times a day. We're posting at least 8 to 10.
Right. Yeah, and it's quality over quantity, but you're also seeing in real time. I mean, you've got to take some chances on social media and see what works and what doesn't,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you're getting to see this is getting engagement, this is not, you know, in real time to yeah. adjust your strategy.
It's a lot. Yeah, it is a lot of trial and error. And, you know, I feel like you were kind of just saying this. There used to be like 9 a.m. was like the peak posting time for this or 10 a.m. this. And now, I mean, of course, you have to look at your insights and see, oh, wow, the majority of my people are, you know, paying attention at this hour. But we, you know, even with us, we've posted things and some that we thought were just like mediocre posts, but like good, blew up. And then we have others that we thought were going to nail it. And we're like, okay, I guess that missed the mark. Like there is some trial and error and learnings along the way.
Well, that's what I've had a lot of talent that worked for me that were, would create posts that went viral organically, mm-hmm. and everyone always asks them, "What's the secret to doing that?" And
yeah.
it's a volume and
yep.
trying things out and taking risks. But there's no secret formula to what's really going to blow up for you, right?
I mean, the only thing I've seen, we were actually as a team, we were talking about it this morning because we had a couple posts that, again, were just pretty basic, but we liked them, but they're still kind of going viral and they were nothing crazy. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, some of the content on, and this is across industries, not just radio and podcasting and everything, but across industries, I have a friend who does social media for an interior designer. She posted like a repost of something. It's still going viral weeks after weeks after weeks. And you just, there's no secret sauce to it, unfortunately. Like there's no, oh, this is what I was going to say. The only thing that I know to be true, if you have some mega influencer or celebrity who has a massive reach and massive engagement, and they repost you and tag you a few times, you're going to, of course, grow. Like that's the only thing that I've seen that consistently works. Otherwise, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason.
Well, and one missed opportunity to do that for radio stations is I've always told stations that when you're doing a promotion with an artist that has a huge following, it should mm-hmm. be built into the deal that they have to do that stuff mm-hmm. with you, because that's an automatic. I mean, there are a lot of these artists that have millions and millions of followers across all the
sure.
platforms, and they will happily agree if you're doing a big flyaway concert promotion with them to really
sure.
promote them. They'll certainly agree to do that, but if you don't ask, they're not going to.
Then,
you
know? Then it's always no, right? If you don't ask, the answer is always no. And, you know, I've had some podcasters who have just asked me for, not that I'm some pro podcaster, but I've been doing it a bit. And so I've, you know, they've asked for advice. They're like, can you ask your guests or like have them sign something so they definitely post? I mean, you can't force anyone to post, especially if you're inviting the guest on your show.
Sure.
You can't be like, I'm inviting you on and you have to post. You know, but you hope in good faith that they do that.
Right. Yeah. And the same kind of goes for the artist. Are there any specific mistakes you're seeing radio stations make when it comes to social media or maybe their websites?
Good question. Well, with websites, when it's hard to navigate, when it's just,
yeah.
when you get to the website and it's a jumbled mess and there are things everywhere and 10 different things on the nav bar and 18 different things on the sidebar, I'm being a little hyperbolic, but when it's messy. And so we really believe in clean, but still aesthetically pleasing, but very clean, minimalistic, but still get everything that we need is on there and just easy to navigate. In terms of social media, in terms of mistakes, You know, I would just, what I would say is, so our social media team's all over, and we work with radio stations all over, and some of those, some of our team, myself included, have never lived in the town in which that radio station is. So sometimes you don't, you know, we want it very localized, so we learn about the town, we learn about the people, the audience, everything, but we're not there. So I would say, I don't know if I'd say it's a mistake, but it's, if you don't learn your brand, the radio station, the audience, like the back of your hand, you're going to kind of, you know, you're going to miss the mark sometimes. Sure. With your posts.
Yeah. And one thing I'll add on to the website, I completely agree with you about them being clean, super easy to navigate.
Yeah.
The other big thing I'll see is dead links where they'll have things in the nav bar that go to nothing. It's with the best of intentions when they're building it out, they're thinking, we're going to do all these different things.
Sure. And
there's nothing wrong with adding that stuff later when you can actually fill it out. But if you're going months without loading anything into there, just get rid of it for now and bring it back when you have the content to fill it.
It's true. And you know, sometimes, like, I think probably part of the reason that happens is because, you know, once we build the sites, you think it's like, we're good. Like, we have the RSS feeds going here. We don't have to touch it. But you got to kind of check on it every now and then, because reasons like that, or we have our social media feeds go to the website. And if a plugin's not updated in time, like, it'll stop. You know, they're just things you have to check. And then I would also say, again, not necessarily a mistake, but SEO, you know, optimizing your site, keywords, all of that, investing in that, having a specialist do that is incredibly, incredibly important.
Yep. The question I get up from a lot of stations, because it seems like they wrestle with on social media, whether they should be on all of them or focus on one or maybe two.
Yeah. So I would say, it's funny, we have this conversation almost every day about this on our team, because right now, Facebook is what we notice to be the best thing across the board for the radio stations that we work with right now. We are also, a lot of them already had Facebook, and so we're kind of just revamping them, new strategies, all of that. We're also adding Instagram now to that because, A, it's very easy to just, you know,
cross
post on both. Exactly. And there's no harm in being on Instagram. Twitter is the one we're not utilizing as much for radio stations. However, we have other clients where LinkedIn makes the most sense because it's more B2B. So I would say in general, a radio station, I mean, Facebook, Instagram, absolutely. Twitter can be great too. I've seen huge success on Twitter as long as you can manage it. You don't have a Twitter account where you're posting once every 3 months. So as long as you have, you know, the content, again, the more the better, I think.
Yeah, and TikTok, I think, for the new music formats, if you've got a younger audience, you definitely need to be.
And if you have a younger Gen Zer who can run the TikTok and stays up on the trends, because that is a, because I did a TikTok, I have a personal TikTok just because I was trying to learn it for my business. It is the Wild West on there, but also things can go viral so much easier than on Instagram. It's so crazy.
The algorithm is drastically different on TikTok, and it's kind of, and they're all, it feels like the other ones are starting to take their lead a little bit and making some changes to adjust to that. But that's a tricky one, because you also, the big thing I always tell them is, I mean, you got to figure out what you can realistically create in house. And then use companies like yours to supplement that. You know, but you, sometimes they get carried away with, again, what's the point in having a social feed if no one's posting to it? You know,
exactly. It's just a waste. And it's funny, most of our client, I shouldn't say most, a lot want us to take the reins, do the strategy, post everything, and then they'll just maybe pop in here and there and post, like, if they're at a local event that we're not there, and by the time they text us the photos, it's easier for them to do it. But some are heavily involved. Like, some want to be posting all the time, which is great. The more, the better. Like, it's up to the client. It's up to the station. If they want to be involved posting, go for it. And if not, we can do all that for them, you know?
Yeah, and to me, that's the best scenario. I'm a firm believer, if you crack the mic on a radio station's behalf, you have to be doing the digital stuff too. It's just the world that we live in. So when we've helped clients with social, I always say, don't think that because we're doing anything that means you guys can just stop totally. Like, if you have staff, if you have on-air staff, then they need to be participating in it. Mm-hmm. But we can help guide them and show them some
100%.
Things to help. Yeah, and same things you do, come in and the tips and tricks to help them.
Right. And the behind the scenes people love. So, like, we will ask the stations we work with, like, can you send us some behind the scenes videos or photos? And sometimes, you know, it takes them a bit to send because they're so busy. Of course, we understand. So it is sometimes easier for them just to host in the moment, post in the moment. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any social schedulers that you use that you really like Hootsuite, Hello Wolfie? Yep. Have you used any? Which one do you prefer, kind of?
Hootsuite for sure. And because a lot of our posting is done on Facebook right now, we use the Facebook, Meta
Business Suite.
Meta Business. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And that works great. And those are really the two. I mean, I know there's so many out there and I'm sure there's some that are better than Hootsuite and we're, you know, but Hootsuite's just been consistent. And so, why fix it if it ain't broken?
Well, and I would definitely, a lot of people don't realize the Meta Business Suite is there and it's free. And it's amazing. It's really helpful when you're posting, especially for a lot of radio stations.
Yeah.
You're responsible for scheduling that stuff. I wish they would get it to where you can't schedule the reels out in bulk like you can the other posts.
Right.
And we've been, I don't know if y'all are, we've been transitioning a lot of our stuff to reels.
Reels are so big now.
Because it seems to work. Again, tracking the stats and seeing what's working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we do something as a reel versus as just a post, that's it seems to get twice as much.
Same.
Yeah.
And across the board,
Speaking of that, what are kind of the big stats that you really look at for clients? What are the main things that you're tracking monthly to gauge how they're doing?
Yeah. So for our end of month, monthly analytics reports that we send to each client, reach, just how many or well, first we break it down by what's our top performing post. Okay. And then we look at everything about that post, the reach, the comments, the engagement, everything. And we give them all those numbers. Then we see month to month, what did the last month's top post do? Then in general, the page, of course, how many more likes did the page get or followers? And then in totality of the page, how many, what was the reach month over month? So it's really, we want to obviously see an upwards, trajectory. And if it's down or if it's flat or close to flat, we will kind of see, okay, what did they do last month? What was going on last month? We noticed, that last month they did a lot of contests and giveaways. December was a big month for that. We were tagging a lot of sponsors. A lot of people were sharing things and there was less of that in January, things like that. But overall the reach, engagement, number of comments, likes, and then follows to the page.
I think that's spot on. I mean, everybody always looks at the big numbers, the friends, the followers and the fans and all that stuff. But it's really the engagement that drives all that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you want to be watching every month.
Right. Because if your post reaches, I don't know, for ease sake, 100 people, well, are they clicking to your site? Are they listening? Are they clicking? What are they doing? Are they not doing anything? The engagement's what's so important.
Do you, I still recommend boosting posts. I don't know how you feel about that, but.
Yeah, it can be hit or miss. We don't always boost unless it's something very important or right. Promotion that, of course we figure out that from a strategic standpoint. But then once we do it, of course we target the appropriate people. It's still what I've noticed lately is that it's reaching a ton of people. It's not the clicks, the call to action's not, it's not always as much as we wish it was. And that of course can be the creative, the graphic, what's sure. The messaging. But I think it's worth it to do, but I don't think it's throw spaghetti at the wall, see what sticks. There needs to be a strategy behind it. You're spending these dollars. What are you getting from it? What is the goal? What's the objective with it? What about you? I mean, do you feel that same way?
Yeah, especially same on things that have sponsors associated. A lot of the, obviously the contesting stuff where you have a sponsor already involved in it. The value of it is it allows you to have some minimum, reach. You can't guarantee on the organic stuff. You can't guarantee any amount of reach because you never know how it's going to do. So building in the boost sometimes helps with that. Secondly, it allows you to fish outside your pond. Mm-hmm. You're reaching some people that aren't fans of yours yet, which is great.
Yep.
Radio stations have a tendency to neglect outside marketing sometimes because they think, we have this huge megaphone. We don't need, but you always want to drive new people.
Always.
And so the other thing we do sometimes is, even without when it's not a contest, we'll try to come up with some programming features that tie in a sponsor so that then it allows, even if it's a small amount, $10, $20, $30 a week, it can make a difference. It's better than,
Absolutely. It helps. I mean, you have to pay to play on most of these sites.
Well, and the groups that are lucky enough to have a budget, I like to use it to add fuel to the fire of something that's already working. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see, like, here's all our organic posts of today. We had 10 posts. This one is really crushing.
Right.
And Facebook knows that. That's why in Meta, they'll tell you, you know, hey, this is.
So they want to boost this?
Yeah. They'll kind of steer you in the right direction a little bit. Although they're going to tell you that even if they're not.
That's true. I was going to say, they might not be so authentic now, but I agree. Yes. I think if there's a strategy behind it and you're not just like, $100 for whatever, but there's a real strategy, then absolutely.
Yeah. You've used that word a lot. And I think that's important. Like having a social strategy and not just, yes, we've talked about experimenting and trying some things and seeing what works, but it's got to be strategic.
It has to be. And when we first work with a client and have a whole, you know, onboarding process, we, like I said, are learning everything about this person. We're building a persona for this brand. This, who is the person listening to your radio station? What do they do? What are their hobbies? Like, what do they do? I mean, everything about them. And then we go, okay, what would, like, getting in their mind, like, it's a little psychological, right? Like, getting in their mind, what would they want to hear? What would they make them want to engage? What would they make them want to tell their, you know, make them, have them want to share this with their friends?
Yeah.
So you have to have a strategy in place. I mean, you could just post, but, and you might hit a good one now and then, but what, you know, they're paying us to do the strategy.
Yep. Are there any AI sites that you recommend that you guys have been using?
So honestly, ChatGPT in general is super helpful for, you know, I mean, look, I think there's, there can be a fine line. I was talking about this with someone the other day and he was like, you know, a lot of people are saying AI is putting people out of business. Well, why don't you just make AI work for you? Like, why don't make you even better
100%.
And more, whatever, you know, and all that. So I think, look, if you have a caption for an Instagram post or a Facebook post and you just want to see like what ChatGPT says about it, you put it in there and maybe they tweak it just slightly, but maybe that slight tweak is a big game changer in terms of where the reach of that post. So honestly, ChatGPT is the thing. I don't have any other. I know there are a ton of apps out there that you could use, but ChatGPT is, you know, the main one.
Yeah, that's what I agree with you. I always say, I stole this line from somebody else that I heard at TAB, but make AI work for you or you'll work for AI. I think that's the right mentality. Like, I always look at it like, if all I did was blog for a radio station, I could blog maybe 10 blog posts a day, something like that, if that's all I did. But using AI, I can do 100.
Exactly. And look, you have to still proofread it and make sure it's right, because it's not perfect. It's not foolproof. You know, well, it kind of is. But it's also, you know, we have no control over the fact that AI is like taking over the world. So we might as well lean in, right? And like you said, make it work for us.
Yeah, you definitely have to read it. You definitely have to proofread it, because it is cold and calculating. It's still a computer.
It totally is. So. But do you know, I was when I was talking about ChatGPT the other day, you can have them read. I didn't know this. You can have them read something else you've written before to get kind of in your tone, your voice, and then have them rewrite whatever it is you put in there in your voice. Like, you really can have. I don't even know everything you could do with ChatGPT. I have not utilized it to its full, you know, the whole maximum potential. But there's a lot you can do and make it work for you.
Yep.
So.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. Is there anything else you want to kind of hit, and make sure we tell them how to get to your stuff?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, first, thank you so much for having me. This was awesome. I'm honored to be on. And SocialCast, the website is socialcastmedia.com. And we're on social media, but we actually, funny, it's like, what's the saying? Like, the cobbler's kid has no shoes or something. Yeah. Like, we, of course, haven't had time to really like do our social media, which is ridiculous because we're a social media company. But socialcastmedia.com. You can always reach out to me directly if you want to chat. And all the information's on the site.
And the podcast was #NoFilter.
Yes. Thank you. My podcast is #NoFilter by Julie Lauren. Lauren's my middle name. And it's an unfiltered conversations with dynamic, inspiring, successful, cool people, and just sharing real, raw, authentic conversations. No sugarcoating.
I like it. I'll have to check it out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie Bortnick with SocialCast.
Yes. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Radio Influencers is a Radio Update production. New episodes are released on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern.